I have favorite stories, probably like you do. And this next one by Anthony DeMello is one of my very favorites. Once upon a time, there was an inventor who discovered the art of making fire. He took his tools to a snow-clad northern region and initiated a tribe into the art and advantages of making fire. The people became so absorbed in this novelty that it did not occur to them to thank the inventor, who one day just quietly slipped away. Being one of those rare human beings endowed with greatness, he had no desire to be remembered or revered. All he sought was the satisfaction of knowing that someone had benefited from his discovery. Well, the next village he went to were just as eager to learn as the first. But the local priests, jealous of the stranger's hold on the people, had him assassinated. To allay any suspicion of the crime, they had a portrait of him, the great inventor, enthroned above the main altar in the temple, and a liturgy designed so that his name would be revered and his memory kept alive. The high priest himself undertook the task of compiling a life of the inventor. This became the holy book, in which his loving kindness was offered as an example for all to emulate, his glorious deeds eulogized, and his superhuman nature made an article of faith. The priest saw to it that this book was handed down from generation to generation, which they authoritatively interpreted. Caught up as they were in these religious tasks, the people of the second tribe completely forgot the art of making fire. This story uses the metaphor of fire to refer to spirituality. Like fire, spirituality gives light, illumination, and vision. Like fire, spirituality gives warmth, comfort, and nurture. Like fire, spirituality gives energy, power, and vitality. DeMello's story encourages us to make fire, to engage with the spiritual life, and to encourage and show others the same. It's no wonder then that at Pentecost, the symbol of fire is used by the author Luke. It dances on the heads of the 120 disciples. It's no wonder too that in the Hebrew legend about receiving the law at Mount Sinai, a legend that Luke drew upon, 70 flames for the allegedly 70 nations of the earth were present. Both of these old stories are pointing to the truth that spirituality is something that can't be contained. Wisdom, compassion, creativity, those manifestations of spirituality are potentially present in every time, every culture, language, and religion. DeMello's story, of course, like the best in the progressive tradition, is a subversive one. For it suggests that spirituality is out of the control of the priests and their religion. You don't have to come to church to make fire. You don't have to agree with the preacher to make fire. You don't have to swear allegiance to any creeds, canon, or Bible to make fire. Instead, worship, liturgy, Bible study, ministry, all need to be evaluated in terms of how useful they are in promoting a spirituality of wisdom, compassion, and creativity. So lighting a spiritual fire is not dependent on coming to church and getting a bit of flame to take home. or having a minister, lay or ordained, come to your home to light it, or undertaking years of study to become an expert yourself. Rather, lighting a spiritual fire is something that can be learned in many different places from many different people. In my experience, spirituality is fostered when children are seen as teachers, where interaction with animals is encouraged, where music and art and people are valued more than profits and buildings and performance, where our earth is seen as physically part of us, when boundaries, class, race, gender, orientation, physical ability are dismantled, and where kindness and generous hospitality and forgiveness are recognized as the foundations of our faith. Making such fire can happen anywhere, home, workplaces, outdoors, and churches. And anyone can help make fire, though humility helps. Children and the marginalized often innately know it, and the rich and powerful often forget it and lose their bearings. At its best, Sunday church is a fire that encourages the outbreak of lots of little fires. And the role of clergy is to encourage and teach spirituality, and in the week go to those places where spirituality is thought to be absent or struggling, and work with people there to make their own fire. And the role of laity is similar, to make and feed spiritual fire in all the many contexts you find yourself in. Christians and the Christian God, though, have no monopoly on spirituality. The scholar Keith Ward writes, "The uniqueness one can properly find in Jesus is something like the uniqueness one may find in a great work of art. It provides an insight into the deepest nature of things that nothing else can provide. It relates us to the experience of God in a way which is rather different from that found elsewhere. But it would be crass to hold that it is the only, or obviously the best, work of art in the universe." Christians need to be careful in extolling their spirituality and beliefs as the best, or the only, or the truth. Wisdom, compassion, and creativity are free and unbounded. That's not to say, to use Ward's metaphor, that all art is equal. All spirituality and religious faiths are not equally true or worthwhile or useful, just as all expressions of Christianity aren't. Without the filter of the Enlightenment, and by the Enlightenment I mean the application of free and critical thought and the centrality of human welfare, without that filter, religion almost inevitably, like in de Mello's story, tends towards repressive authoritarianism. The priesthood impose their views on others. Freedom of thought is hung out to die. It becomes more important to have correct beliefs than to change the world and humanity for the better. We should not, however, be blind to the Enlightenment's fallacies. And those fallacies, I would suggest, are that reason and individual happiness and freedom to do what one wants, these things have not created a just, flourishing, and healthy global community. And we have seen in recent decades the disillusionment among many in the Western democracies, particularly the young, with the Enlightenment's exaltation of the individual and the mythology of self-fulfillment. And we've seen how corporate interests manipulate self-fulfillment in order to increase both their profits and power. This growing disillusionment has not led many to re-enter formal religions with their creeds and certainties, but it has, somewhat surprisingly, kindled a new or renewed interest in spirituality. It's those old stories like de Mello's that do not claim historical truth, but do claim to point to something that is true. These stories resonate. It's spirituality's vision of a world of justice and peace. It's spirituality's ability to nurture the individual and the communal soul. And it's spirituality's energy that can fuel the passion for transformative change. This is the fire that is sought. This is the fire that you and I have skills in kindling. And this is the fire of Pentecost.